the first 3 or 4 minutes of this sermon, along with the readings, did not record properly. We pick it up 4 minutes into the sermon.
That Jesus has made, isn't it? And right from eternity past, he has been with God the Father, and he himself is God. This divine word of God, along with his Father, the creator of all things, and the Holy Spirit, is God. One God, three persons. And through faith in Jesus Christ, you are a child of this awesome God. You are one of his children. I guess you could say that in a way, a building is the child of its designer architect, isn't it? Their brainchild, we say that, have that phrase, don't we? A brainchild. Sometimes we might even talk about something that's taken a lot of time and a lot of effort as being to complete, as being sort of like our child, like a big garden redesign, or maybe a big project for school, or a huge thing at university, or something like that. A big work thing to do. It's our baby, we might call it. But we don't have a relationship with any of those things, and an architect doesn't have a living relationship with their building they've designed, do they? But when John describes us as children of God, he means that we have an intimate father-child relationship with the creator of everything. Everything that we can see, everything that we can't see, everything that humanity has discovered, everything that we haven't yet discovered. God is creator of all of those things. And you are his child. You have a relationship, a father-child relationship, with the creator of everything. Isn't that mind-blowing? Can we have some nods for mind-blowingness? Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's huge truth, this is. You can call God your very own father. Now again, this talk of God as father and us as his children might be quite difficult for a few. It might be that you lost your dad when you were very young, a long time ago. It might be that you've lost your dad fairly recently, and you're struggling with grief. It might be that you've never had a brilliant relationship with your dad. If that's you, then please know that none of us has ever had a relationship with our dads like the relationship we have with God our Father. If you have had trouble with your dad in any way, or if you are doing so now, if you're grieving his loss, however many years ago, however many days ago that might be, then please do have a chat with somebody afterwards, somebody you trust to talk to and pray it through with. Let me say that none of us who are dads can possibly have a relationship with our children that is anything like the relationship we have God our Father. With God our Father. It's a tiny, tiny mirror of it. But God is not like us, is he? Because he is perfectly good. If you ask Joshua what daddy's like, he will not say perfectly good. I can absolutely guarantee that. God our Father knows everything. We dads, we don't know everything. We sometimes tell our kids off for doing things they didn't do because we don't know what really happened. His love for us knows absolutely no limits. He doesn't get tired at the end of the day. He doesn't get cranky when things don't quite go his way. His love knows no limits. And his power working on our behalf is unparalleled. And we dads, we can't sort all our problems out for our kids, even though we would absolutely love to. We can't. God works his incomparable power for our good, for his children's good. Look at verse 4 with me. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Verse 5, the light that shines in the darkness, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He's the light-giving, life-giving, all-powerful God, and we are his children. We can call him our Father. Christian, you are God's child. You're in God's family. The other side of the coin, though, is that those who aren't trusting in Jesus aren't in God's family. And there used to be a myth that went around that everybody who's ever made is one of God's children and we're all going to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible says, is it? So if that is you, if you're not somebody who trusts in Jesus and you're not in God's family, then please know that you are very welcome among us today. And just like any welcoming father, God loves to have people visiting his family. But unlike any other father, God invites you to join his family. Verse 11. And look with me in verse 11 again. He, that's Jesus, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. How can you become a member of God's family even this morning? Well, it's incredibly simple, isn't it? It's by believing in Jesus, which means believing absolutely that he really existed, really walked this planet and exists still, but also believing in what he taught, what he says in the scriptures, in the Bible. And if you'd like to explore that further, then please do have a chat with me or Ash or somebody else, and we can set you up with one of our essentials courses that we run from time to time. And it'd be lovely to explore that with you. So I'm going to ask you, look around the room again. Go on. I know this is England. I know this is Kirkcaldy. Look around the room. Who do you see? Well, you see children in God's family. Children born not naturally, but born of God through faith in Jesus. That's who you are looking at when you look around the room. You're looking at a very special person who is in God's family. Church, you are part of God's family. Secondly, let's turn to our passage in Galatians 6. That's page 1172 in your Bibles. Page 1170. And again, let's go straight to the end of the passage and verse 10. Paul writes this: let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We're in God's family, and we're a family together. We're a family together. Brothers and sisters in Christ. So, once more, I know this is getting tedious. Look around the room again. This is really important because we're us. We're not you and you and you and you and you. We're us. I'd love to be doing this service in a round, actually. Then you wouldn't have to bend your necks. So, who do you see? Well, if you're a believing Christian, which I take it is the vast majority of us here, then you are looking at your brothers and sisters in Christ, your spiritual relatives, your spiritual family. You're part of the biggest family that's ever, ever existed. And these people sitting in the room with you are your closest spiritual relatives, because God has called us together to be in the same church family, the same local expression of his worldwide, history-long family. And there are a number of us here who don't have many or even any physical family nearby who we're blood-related to, or maybe have lost family over the years. Please know that church is your family. It's not a substitute family. It's not like you've not got other families so you can call church a family if you want to. It's not a substitute, it is your real spiritual family. Because our spiritual ties to one another run at an even deeper level than our physical blood ties. Our physical blood families are really important, really important. And yet our spiritual ties are even closer, even stronger, because we're going to spend eternity with each other. So when you look around the room, think, oh no, then please do pray about that, because you've got a while to spend with one another. There are others who've got lots of blood family around, lots, and praise God for that blessing. Enjoy having them nearby, your uncles, your aunts, your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-auntie Nellie. Just love having them all around. It's a brilliant thing. But please, don't neglect your spiritual family as well. Don't neglect your spiritual family. I know there's so many great examples of people looking out for one another, and it's a real blessing. People who are looking out for single people, widows, widowers, or even couples who don't have any other family nearby. Maybe having them over regularly and not even for any particular purpose, just to have them over. That's wonderful. Praise God for that. Keep going with it. Keep checking in with one another by text, by WhatsApp, or even, remember those things when you actually phone somebody in, you can hear their voice down the phone. It's amazing. Just generally making sure they're okay and they know that they're loved by their spiritual family. Please keep that up, and let's do it more and more, shall we? Galatians 6 gives us a few tips on how to be spiritual brothers and sisters together. It's not an exhaustive list by any means. It's not meant to be. And I think we'll be digging into this a little bit more later on at 6 p.m. at the memorial hall, won't we, Ash? Mm-hmm. Thinking about more what it is to love one another. But we could have gone to 1 Thessalonians 2:8, and we could have seen how much Paul loved the church family there and shared his life with them. But this morning, we're going to look at Galatians 6 and find Paul's top tips for being church family together here. So look at verse 1 with me. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Now that is not, hear this clearly, that is not a command to be nosy parkers. Absolutely not. And it's not a reason to be scared of coming to church if you know you haven't lived a perfect life this last week. I haven't. None of us have. This is a call to look after one another's spiritual well-being, to make sure that we're okay. If we're aware that someone's struggling with a particular sin, whatever that might be, it might be small, it might be big, if we're just aware that someone's struggling with it, then have a chat with them over a cup of coffee. Have them round. Maybe go to Ginger's, other coffee shops are available, with them, and just chat it through, see how they are. Are they okay? Is there anything you can do to help? How can you pray for them? But while doing this, we need to be really careful to watch ourselves and watch our own spiritual well-being, that we don't slip into the same sin. Because here's the thing, our hearts love to sin so often, we find it quite compelling. And so when we're helping somebody else, we just need to watch out. Be prayerful. Just watch out. It's a bit like rescuing somebody who's got into sinking mud. If you do it carefully, you don't sink in yourself. So restore one another. Verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfil the law of Christ. Now, in Galatians, Paul says the law of Christ is love. Love is the law of Christ. Carry one another's burdens. Now we know when somebody's burdened, don't we? If we know them well, we know when they come into church and they're not looking right. We know they're not right. We know something is up. If we catch up with them somewhere and they're not quite themselves, we know that something is up. We might not know what it is, but we know it's not quite right with them. And what can we do? Well, we can be their Christian friend, their Christian brother or sister, can't we? And when there's something up, let's make sure that we're there for one another. And loads of us are already really good at doing that. Let's keep going with it, shall we? And do it more and more, as Paul suggests. Let's make time for one another. Spend time in one another's company. I know time is often at a premium, isn't it? But relationships are even more important than time. So let's make sure that we cash in those Christian relationships, because they are so important. Be open with our own burdens, so that we give others opportunities to share the load with us. That's quite hard for those of us from a kind of broadly middle-class background in England to be open with our burdens, isn't it? We don't want to do that. We want to be buttoned up and we want to put on a good face for the world. Let's not do that, because then we're preventing our brothers and sisters from looking after us spiritually. And brothers and sisters look after one another, don't they? That's what family does. Look with me at verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4 come immediately after verse 2, and on first sight might look like they contradict verse 2. Verse 3, if anyone thinks they are something when they're not, they deceive themselves. And verse 4, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Now, I think, and tell me what you think afterwards, but I think what Paul's saying here is, don't kind of dump stuff on one another when you don't need to. And don't compare yourself sideways. Don't think you're a better or worse Christian than anybody else. That's crazy talk. Because Jesus has made you a Christian. You're his workmanship. And we shouldn't be comparing ourselves sideways to one another. We should be living in the power of the Spirit, living for Jesus and looking to him, not comparing ourselves sideways. Sometimes I think when we look sideways, we end up kind of dumping our own worries on somebody else and giving them the poor me's. Now let's not do that. Let's look to Jesus and carry one another's loads. Let's help one another out, being open as we do that. If you really need help, then for goodness sake, say. But don't be comparing yourself sideways. Just because you need help doesn't make you a worse person or worse Christian. It makes you part of God's family. Everybody else will need help at some point. Verses 7 and 8. We prove our faith to be real, don't we, as we live our Christian lives together. So as we sow to the Spirit, as we sow our lives in line with God's Spirit, so we are proving our faith to be real. If we're living our lives completely contradictory to God's word, and we're sowing to the flesh, sowing to our own desires, then we're showing that we're not really God's people, aren't we? So if we desire to live for God, if that's our heart's desire, then let's keep sowing our lives that way, because that proves who we are and we will reap eternal life. And finally, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of believers. And that especially is quite a big especially here. We are called absolutely to do good to all, but we are called to do good especially to the household of believers, to the family of believers, the family of God's people. We should be marked out as a family who has one another's backs, who obviously love one another. What did Jesus say? He said, I give you a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. And if you love one another, all people will know that you are
disciples.
My disciples. That's right. So as we live this life of loving one another, the world looks on and sees that we are God's people. And they want to come and find out more. And we say, well, we love one another because God loved us first. That's how we live. Let's live as those who help one another practically, spiritually, and emotionally, looking after one another, who are open with one another, letting our brothers and sisters serve us. So as we begin to wind up, for a final time, I'm going to do it again. Look around. I'm going to wait till you all look around. The longer it takes, the longer the sermon is. You're not just looking at members of the church. You're not just looking at God's children or there you are. You're looking at people who've been rescued, gathered together around Jesus, and brought into God's family. And you are looking at your spiritual brothers and sisters. You are looking at your spiritual family. That's huge, isn't it? That's really huge. So what difference is that going to make to you today, tomorrow, next week, next year, next decade? Well, here are a few pointers. Firstly, do you see yourself and others as God sees you? A deeply loved child who has spiritual brothers and sisters who are your family and will be into eternity future. Tell yourself that truth when you get up in the morning, when you walk into a room full of church people, when you meet up with one another in each other's houses. Remind yourself, maybe remind everyone else, that you are brothers and sisters together. Quite often when I meet up with Ash, he says, "Hello, brother, how are you doing?" That is really encouraging. It's reminding me of who I am. He'll forget to do it now forever and a day, won't he? When you meet other Christians, remind yourself and them who you are. Secondly, as I said earlier, loads of us are great at being in touch with one another. Let's do that more and more and more. But there may be one or two who don't really look out for other Christians yet. Maybe you've not got into that yet. Well, you'll be mightily blessed when you do. You'll be mightily blessed. Because you will reap what you sow, won't you? As you look out for others, so they'll look out for you when you need help. And you will need help one day. Ask some of the older saints among us. If they need help sometimes, they'll tell you absolutely they do. You are going to need help one day. Thirdly, you might think of yourself as a lone Christian, that faith is only about you and Jesus, or maybe your family and Jesus. Well, absolutely, it is about you and Jesus. I hope you've been convinced of that today. But it's even more so, isn't it? It's equally about us as God's family together and Jesus. There is no such thing as a lone Christian. It's like the old picture of an ice cube falling out of the freezer. It can stay icy for a little bit, but then what happens is a puddle. An ember that falls out of a fire. It's hot for a while, but then it's just a mess. You can't be a lone Christian falling out of the freezer or out of the fire. You'll crash and burn in the end. Your faith is about you and Jesus, but it's absolutely about us and Jesus as well. You have brothers and sisters here. Love them, be loved by them. And you have billions of brothers and sisters throughout the globe and down through history. So to misquote that disco classic sung by Sister Sledge, we are family, all my sisters and brothers, and me. We're God's children. We're brothers and sisters. Let me pray. Our Father, we praise you for this glorious, happy truth that we are your children and that we are brothers and sisters with one another. We pray that you would increase our joy in this truth day by day. Please would you help us to serve one another. Please would you allow us, would you cause us to allow one another to serve us too. Please would you prevent us from being proud either way. And please would you grow us more and more into the people you have already made us, your family here in Kirkcaldy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.